I had a good friend that was also my professor in seminary, and he was one of the great missionaries that I know personally. From Indonesia, in a place some of you may know of, it's called Irian Jaya. He's still there right now, in old age, and he plans to just die there. I think he loves the place so much. I remember him telling a story about how in the early days, and he translated the Bible into the language and so forth, and he was taking some of the indigenous people out after they came to know the Lord and the church was established. It took them out to kind of, you know, take them to places so they can share about the ministry that God is doing and so forth. But it was in a jungle area, you know, just trees everywhere. That's where they used to eat people and all cannibals and so forth. And they only lived in a certain place. They never really went out. Kind of like people that live in Houston never went out of Houston. So as he was taking them out, and they came to a clearance where the beaches were, the water was, a long walk actually from there, a couple of days travel. Suddenly one of the persons said, and he records this, he looked down and he said, "Oh my goodness, you know, how come the cows are so small here?" You know, he saw a whole bunch of cows, and they do have water buffaloes and stuff like that there. So he saw, in looking at it, the perspective that he got, because they were at a distance, they were like this small. See, in the jungles, they never saw anything further than maybe 15, 20, 30 feet. There were always trees there. And they all grew up that way. They never thought they could see something this small because there was never that distance. Another thing my friend told us was they grew up always having a headache. They just assumed that's life. Life was always going to give you a headache. Doesn't matter morning, day, or night. They always had a headache, all the people. And they didn't realize the reason is because one of the staples of food was sweet potato. And if you're a nutritionist, you know that sweet potato has a very high percentage of vitamin A. And you eat too much vitamin A, for us too, you will have a headache. It causes headaches. And so these are the things that these people grew up with, and that's life for them. I want to tell you, we are like that too, you know. This passage of Scripture is amazing because it describes the world as it is 2,000 years ago and now. See, most people, they grow up in a certain culture, and they think life is that way. And, you know, now we're modern now. We look, oh, how ancient, how, you know, traditional, how foolish these people were. But when they were living there, that's not how they thought. They thought that it was okay to worship the emperor. That's what you're supposed to do. They thought it was okay to have these special holidays all the time. They thought it was, you know, okay to believe in this kind of thought and that kind of thought because they grew up that way. And these are what they call, the scriptures call, the wisdom of the world. The apostle comes and he says, "You know what, guys? You need to understand what real wisdom is. This is the wisdom of the world. It is not real wisdom." And I want to also say, you know, in our day today, not only is it out there, there's all this wisdom out there, but also it's not a church. We have a certain idea of what wisdom is as well. I think there is a dimension of living and that we, you know, get ourselves into. And we think that's okay. And we ought not to think that, because the Bible has something far greater for us. And so today I entitled the message, "Amazing Dimension." I believe that God's people can live in a different dimension that the world lives. Paul did. And when he wrote these words to the Corinthian Christians, he realized that these folks are living in a city, in a culture, in an environment in which they thought certain things were right, certain things were wrong, and they thought they were so smart. And today we have lots of people that are very learned. You go to all kinds of educational institutions, you're well-read, you know, and we're not illiterate in this country. We think about things, we think we're so smart. And then when we think about the things of God, we think they're so foolish. Think about it. Back in those days, if you're a Greek person, even if you're a Jewish person, how in the world can a person who died viciously on a cross of Calvary be your savior. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It doesn't, because saviors for them are sitting on great horses with swords in their hands with an army behind them. How could somebody who was a carpenter who had no riches to speak of and had no following until just recently, and not many at that, how can they be your King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It doesn't make any sense. But you see, they live in a different dimension. They live in a dimension of the world. And the world operates only on the basis of two ways. First, what they see out there, what they perceive with their eyes and their five senses. That's all they can do. And maybe inside the heart, they think, oh, maybe this should be, you know, how they think life should be. They don't know anything else. They can't penetrate into the spiritual. There's nothing supernatural for them that they can understand. They might make it up. They might make some gods up, but they don't work. And so they live in that dimension, the dimension of the world. And the Apostle Paul is saying, guys, I want you to understand something. You are living, and you should be living in a different dimension. And in this dimension, there's three things that we need to learn in this passage. First of all, the wisdom from God. Paul says, no, in verse 7, we declare God's wisdom. God's wisdom. He says, you know, if the world understood God's wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Think about that. If you knew that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of the living God, he who created the universe, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to give the order to crucify him? Are you crazy? You wouldn't do that. But they didn't know. They didn't have the wisdom from God at all. They thought their wisdom was great. And this kind of sect there, you know, they're ridiculous. They're foolish. They're nothing but foolishness. They had nothing to compare to the real wisdom from God, because they didn't know God. They only can do it on their own. And that's what we do a lot of times. You know, we look at things, we look at decisions that we make, and we make choices on the basis of what we see in the world, what we brought up with, you know, whether as an American or as a Chinese or as another Asian or as Hispanic, whatever. We have these things. We base it on that, and we don't base it on the wisdom of God. And Paul is telling the people there, guys, you have the wisdom of God. In fact, he says some things. You know, last week I told you, you know, I shouldn't be teaching you all these bad Greek words. I told you, you want to get mad at somebody, you want to call them names, you call them Iani, right? You're nothing. He does it again here. He uses another word that's really interesting. He says, you know what? The rulers of this earth, the wisdom of the age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. That word there is the word katogero. It's kind of like when we used to play basketball, you know? We want to trash talk on the courts. We're playing the games, and we're telling the other guy, you got no game at all. You got nothing, you know? I can drive on you anytime. I can score on you anytime. You got nothing. That's what it means, katogero. You are empty. You got nothing. You have no game, you know? So in basketball, you say, you are katogero. That's a bad thing to say, just in case. And they wouldn't know. You could say, they won't even know what you said. But that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that the rulers of this age, the princes, the kings, and all those people, Pilate and all those guys, they have nothing. They're empty. Their wisdom is empty. They think they're so smart, but they got nothing. Nothing at all. The wisdom of God is everything. It doesn't make any sense to people of this world. Doesn't at all. So you as a Christian, you know, when you're going out there and you're reading your Bible, you talk about it in your work, and some people say, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. You need to understand they have katogero. They have nothing. They're empty. They're devoid of wisdom. They have no smarts at all. They think they have a lot, but they have nothing because it is not from God. Paul said, that's nothing. Because if they had some wisdom at all, they would never do the things they do. Think about what the world does today. Think about the things you read, the things you watch on TV, decisions that leaders make, politicians, you know, or perhaps economic leaders. Think about the choices they make. You need to understand they're basing all those choices not on the wisdom of God, but on their own wisdom, which is nothing, it's empty. Paul said that's what it is in this world. And then he goes on and he makes another phrase. He talks about the Spirit of God. Now, this is really important. This is really important. Verse 10, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. How do we know then? How do we know anything at all? How do we know any wisdom at all and any knowledge that is of God? How do we know? The only way we can know is if God gives it to us, right? There's absolutely no way that a human being living in this, you know, physical world without the Spirit of God can understand anything of God. So that's why when you share the gospel with non-Christians, you need to understand that they don't know what you're talking about. They can't know. And that's why you need to pray for them, even as you're witnessing to them, that the Spirit of God would open up their hearts and understanding, because they cannot know. They can't understand what it means to be born again. Nicodemus said that to Jesus. What are you talking about? How can you be born again? They cannot know that the Almighty God can anoint your understanding. They don't know that. So you need to understand that they don't know. But the Spirit of God is the one that takes the wisdom of God and then reveals it to us. In fact, the word here is reveal. That word reveal is the same word as revelation, which is the word in the Greek word apocalypse, apocalypto, which is apocalypse. Apocalypse literally means revelation. The Spirit of God takes the wisdom of God and reveals it to us. And that's the only way we can know. We cannot know the things of God. We cannot know how God created this universe. We can't know that God, what God does. We can't know what God is going to do, that eternity afterward, the life after death. We don't know any of those things. The world cannot know any of this unless God tells it through His Spirit. And He reveals it to us. That's what He does. You know, when we're in seminary, we were taught three important things that the Holy Spirit does with knowledge and with the Word of God. Three. First thing is revelation, that He reveals to us. It has to come from the Spirit of God, or we're not going to get it. You can't get it from even looking at books. You can't do it from studies, none of that. The Spirit of God is going to reveal things to you, and He does it through the Word of God. I know nowadays there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the evangelical community, and some of this is a little scary, and we talked about that in our Sunday school class, because some of these things are very deceptive and false, and that is one of the things that's happening. A lot of prophecies going on, a lot of new revelations and on. There are people out there, they're leaders, that you probably know some of the names, saying, you know, God has given me a new revelation about things. No, God has not given a new revelation. The revelation of God is in the Word of God. Anybody that wants to give you a new revelation, you got to know they're off, okay? And the enemy of God is using him. God is not giving any new revelation. Everything that we need is in the Word of God. The revelation of God is revealed to us by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. So we need to be careful about that. But the second thing that the Spirit of God does, and it says it here, and is that is He inspires us. It is the word God breathed. In 2 Timothy 3:16, He says, you know, all Scripture is God breathed. He inspires us. Inspiration. And so not only does He reveal the Word of God to us, so we might be at home holding a Bible, or we have a tablet, like I have, and the Word of God is in there, yes. But we need the Spirit of God to inspire us, to reveal it to us, and then to inspire us in the understanding of it. I don't know how often this happened to you. I read the Word of God and every single day, and I want to tell you something. I get inspired. You know, God leads me to places and situations. There are things that I have done, major decisions of my life. They come from the Spirit of God through the inspiration of His Word to me. Now, He's inspired the writers to write the Word, revealing to us. But this is what He does. God breathes it. It is a sense that is different than this world. The world doesn't understand that. What are you talking about, Dan? What are you talking about? There's these spooky things there. But you know what? If you have spent time in prayer, not just once, not a few minutes a day, but in depth praying with the Word of God available to you, you will once in a while, you'll be surprised, but you know what? You shouldn't be. God is going to open up a dimension of life that you won't expect. And God can call you to places to do things, to be transformed, that your family would change. You should not be surprised that God would do that, because that's what the Spirit of God does. He inspires us. And the third word that we were taught in seminary is the word illuminate. Illumination of the Word of God. You open the passage, I read two Psalms and some other word, and I like it, I enjoy it, you know. But you know what? Once in a while, God would just illuminate something. Just like a verse that I, you know, inspires my life every single day. Proverbs 19:17. You know, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward you for what you have done. And I'm like, you know, I've read that verse many times, because as I go through Proverbs, I read it. but I never saw the verse, you know? And then one day the Spirit of God just shined that light onto that verse, and it changed my life. And that's what God does. In 1 John chapter 2, it talks about that. He talks about the anointing of the Holy Spirit will show you things and lead you things to things. I mean, it's very specific. It talks about all those things. I want to tell you, people, as God's people, we can live in a dimension that is so vastly different than what the world is living. We can have an understanding about every single day, what's going on. We can have an understanding about the politics of this world, the global situation about this world. We can have an understanding of what's happening in Houston, about our family, about our own lives. You know, someone gets sick, you know, you just say, well, of course, we pray that God will heal the person. But, you know, have you stepped back and say, Lord, what is this? Take me to that dimension of understanding the sickness for my friend. What does that mean? Someone loses his job, you know, instead of saying, oh, we're going to pray for that horrible thing to happen, step back and say, God, lead me there. Spirit of the living God, reveal this to me. Show me in Scripture what you are dealing, what are you doing with this person or this family? Perhaps something happens to you personally, and it's devastating. It's something physical, perhaps, something maybe relational, something horrible. Instead of just, oh, God, get me out of this, you know, or complaining about it and say, man, why me? Step back and say, God, take me to that dimension that you have that shows me that you are doing something awesome. Let me see your hand, not literally with your eyes, but, you know, let me sense it. Let me have a peace that surpasses all understanding. This is what the Spirit of God does. He reveals, he inspires, he illuminates, he tells us the things of the Almighty God. This is something that the world would never have. Could not understand. And if you're not a believer, you would never understand this because it has to be given to you by the Spirit of God who lives in you. I love the last part, verse 16. At the end, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Have you ever been able to say that and believe it or thought it? You have the mind of Christ. Say, oh, no, I don't have that. I'm not there yet. Now, Paul begins by telling who has the mind of Christ. He says, for the mature. Now, I don't know how long you've been a Christian. If you've been a Christian more than a year or two, you should get to a place of maturation. Maybe some of you have been a Christian for 30, 40 years. And if you still don't have the mind of Christ, something has to be changed. Because you and I, we need to have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul said. This is for the mature. And he goes on a few verses earlier. It's interesting what he says. It almost sounds arrogant, but it's not. He says, you know, we who have the mind of Christ, essentially, we can make judgment on all things. But we're not judged. Really? You say, wow, that's arrogance, isn't it? No, it's not arrogance at all. This is Paul saying, because if you have the mind of Christ, the people of this world cannot judge you. They have no basis to judge you. It's like somebody who's a mechanic fixing a car and somebody who doesn't know anything about a car. Oh, I don't like that. You tuned it up badly. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Or chemical engineer, somebody who doesn't know anything about engineering comes, I don't like that. Whatever you did, I don't like. The world can't do that to you. Because if you have the mind of Christ, you have the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God revealing, inspiring, illuminating things to you. And when you see things, and even when you make judgment on things, see, you're doing it from the basis of the wisdom of God. And the world said, no, you can't do that. You wonder why the world, at least in our country, not just here, but all over the world, but certainly here, they want to get rid of the Ten Commandments, they want to get rid of the Bible, and, you know, there's another park in Florida somewhere, they want to get rid of the cross. I mean, how does it hurt anybody? They do that because the world hates Jesus Christ, hates everything about him. They know nothing about him because they can't know the wisdom of God. They can't know it. That's why they crucified him 2,000 years ago. If he was here today, they would crucify him again because they have no idea. They do not have the wisdom of God to realize this is the King of Kings, the Lord of glory, because if they really knew, they would never do that. You and I, we can live in a different dimension. You know, we have to live in the world until the Lord takes us home, whether by death or his coming. We have to live here. And living here means we have to live in the context of this culture. But we don't have to have the mind of the world. We can have the mind of Christ. And if we do have that, then we can make a huge difference in the lives of people we love and the people of this world. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this truth that you have given to us, the Spirit of the living God, and you have revealed to us your wisdom. And Lord God, I want to pray for each one of us here that in this room, that each and every single person will be able to say with confidence that we have the mind of Christ. That Lord God, that we can make a difference in this world because we are living and moving and thriving because of the Spirit of God who lives in us. Oh Lord, make that happen to us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.